Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Second hour, Darren, Donnick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Friday morning. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. You just made the list coming up at high noon. Tell us who or what has made you mad. And then at the bottom of that hour at 12:30, Tony Kemp, Oakland A's player, former Vanderbilt Commodore. And we always enjoy our conversations with Tony Kemp, and we will talk to him coming up at 12:30. Been a while since we've talked to our next guest, but it's time to bring in Kyle Tucker from The Athletic. Covers Kentucky and the Titans, which is interesting. I don't think the last time we talked to Kyle that was the case, and I believe a little birdie told me you're living in Nashville now. Is that true?
That's right, yeah. We've had a lot of family stuff going on where we felt like we needed to get back closer to home. My family's around here, all my parents and siblings and my wife's parents and siblings are all around here with their families, and we've got twin toddlers running wild in our house, so we decided to get back closer to home. So yeah, I was planning to do a lot more and probably still will at some point Kentucky stuff, but everything about college sports is still in a wait and see kind of paused mode. Who knows the next time we'll interview anybody in person on a college campus. And so right now I was going to be doing a lot of commuting, but right now I'm staying put here in Nashville. And there's an NFL team right around the corner. So staying busy, helping Joe Rexroad do some Titan stuff here.
How about that? I remember from our previous conversations, You talked about all your family being from this area. They're from the Clarksville area, is that right?
Yeah, I grew up in Clarksville, Tennessee.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Actually, I have a box of media credentials from the first season of the Titans in Nashville. I worked for my hometown paper there in Clarksville as a college student, and they let me come up. We had all hands on deck to cover the Titans when they came to Nashville, and write little sidebar stories on the Titans when I was 19, 20 years old. I got two sisters who live in Nashville now, and all my in-laws are here.
Great deal. Good deal. So before we jump into the Titans stuff, I do want to ask you, just because all of our conversations in the past have been you being basically on the Kentucky beat, how do you think this college football, I mean, you've been watching this all play out just like us. One, how do you think the college football season is going to go? Do you think the SEC, they're going to try it. Do you think they will succeed and finish with the 10 games? And how do you think college basketball is going to try to approach this season?
Yeah, Dana O'Neill covers college basketball nationally for us at The Athletic. Had a story up last night that one of her sources has the NCAA looking at late November, early December for starting the college basketball season, and some interesting ideas, maybe flipping conference and non-conference, where you could try to knock out the conference play on the first part of the season, especially if you started at the end of November. There's been a lot of talk about that period of time. Even if for the schools that keep students on campus, there is a little window where you have sort of a natural bubble that happens every year when the students go home for Thanksgiving. And so in that little stretch of time, from late November to middle of January, when there's no classes, can you safely, bubble up or whatever it might be, and knock out a bunch of your conference games and get that most important part of it all, done, so that if there's some disruption when the students come back, and what you lose maybe is some non-conference games, but you don't lose your conference play. You know, John Calipari talked to us yesterday or the day before. They're all running together now. And he mentioned, you know, he talked about all kinds of things about, you know, just the ideas he seemed to be throwing out there. But I think obviously there's probably been some conversations at some level because he sits on some committees. He talked about weekends, you know, conference weekends where maybe, you get a handful of teams that are, you know, close to each other, you know, go sequester somewhere together for a long weekend or on one of their campuses for a long weekend, and you knock out, you know, two or three, whatever, conference games. So I think they're going to be creative. I think the super encouraging thing, if you're talking about college basketball, is I think they have been way out in front compared to football. They've been forward thinking. They've been trying to consider, you know, options. I think they know they cannot afford to not play the NCAA tournament for a second straight year. It's hundreds of millions of dollars. And so if that means doing these weird things to get some semblance of a regular season played out and then going to some version of a bubble to play the NCAA tournament, and does it mean it's reduced to 32 teams for a year? I don't know. But I think college basketball gets played. And I think college football gets off the ground. Does it get finished? I don't know. Bruce Feldman, who covers college football nationally for us, just tweeted out a couple of minutes ago that he is hearing that Big Ten coaches are on a conference call right now, and that it is a, quote, real possibility the Big Ten may reverse course and play later in the fall. They're talking about picking up their season maybe in Thanksgiving, the week of Thanksgiving. And, that sounds to me like trying to squeeze in a season in that bubble, in that sort of natural bubble where the students go home and nobody's on campus for a couple months. That would be weird if the rest of these leagues actually get their season played, because you would be essentially halfway through your Big Ten season while everyone else is preparing to start the college football playoff. So that, it may exclude you from that. But, I say all these words to say, and that last part of it tells you this is changing every minute, every day.
Yep.
And to try to call it like final call, this is what's going to happen today, is insane.
The Big Ten really looks like just an absolute hot mess through all this. They look pretty pathetic with the it's hard to keep up. You get tired just trying to keep up with the news of the Big Ten. They can't make up their damn mind what they're doing from day to day.
Yeah, I would say one of the things this is sports, this is life, business, the world, the country. I think the stress and the chaos of the last several months has underscored a fundamental leadership and communication breakdown. That it matters who's leading you and if they're actually a leader. It matters whether or not you have a centralized leadership. It matters whether you have protocols and channels. I mean, there were these reports coming out that the Big Ten, presidents and chancellors met and that they talked to their athletic directors, but the chancellors and athletic directors never talked together in the same room or the same Zoom, that they were never all in the same place at the same time talking about it. I mean, how is that possible? How does that happen? This has underscored that leadership is critical, and there's a lot of organizations that maybe don't have the leaders that they need right now.
We're talking to Kyle Tucker from The Athletic, and I'm sure we'll get more into that Big Ten story a little later in the hour. Kyle, one of the things that jumped out to me, you wrote a great article. For all the Titans fans out there, this is what I would recommend that you read. On Logan Woodside, who really we've been talking about in some form or fashion all summer, is he going to be the backup? Now, of course, they bring in Trevor Siemian to compete with him, but it's kind of par for the course for him. He's had so many challenges being told you're not quite good enough. I love some of the stuff that came out in your article. Really, really well done. Let me hit you with one off the bat, because I think this is a great story. He had been cut by the Bengals out of college. He had been drafted in the AAF, which lasted just a few weeks. People probably have even forgot about it by now. But he was in between, and he was working, at LA Fitness? He was working at a workout center at some point?
Yeah, draft pick, cut in preseason. in between jobs, and he stays in Cincinnati there, which is only about an hour from where he grew up in Kentucky, and worked selling. He said allegedly selling memberships at the LA Fitness, but mostly just kind of trying to lay low, not be recognized. It was a very low moment for him. And I thought that was interesting because so much of his story from high school on through college is that of a grinder. But then he gets drafted and he leaves Toledo as their all-time leading passer, put up crazy numbers there. I think he finally let himself believe he kind of arrived. And, his high school coach told me about how he, came back to town talking about what he was going to buy with his NFL money. As a seventh-round draft pick, the third quarterback on the roster, maybe deluded himself a little bit there. But that laid him low, and working a desk job at LA Fitness kind of laid him low, and it refocused him, and it got him back to what he's always kind of done, and that was the other great line from his high school coach, that he's like a bad rash. He just won't go away. I mean, it would seem, I haven't been covering much NFL, but it would seem relatively unusual that a guy in his circumstance, who at this point, drafted in 2017, at this point does not have a single NFL snap in his in a regular season game to his credit, is now his third September, going into his third September with the Tennessee Titans. They just keep bringing him back. Brought him back after he didn't make the roster last year, got on injured reserve on the practice squad. He did have a nice preseason for them, but there's obviously something he's showing them, I think, in the daily work and the grind of it, that really impresses them, that they keep giving them these opportunities.
No question. That's what I think we're all intrigued about, and this gives some insight as to how he's been able to do that. This is another thing I think it's a great lesson for in life, really, for anybody, but especially for athletes. He kind of talked about how he didn't really realize, you alluded to it, he kind of thought, hey, I got it made. I got drafted in the NFL. I'm on the Bengals. This is going to be great. And he didn't understand what it was going to take to make it and stick, and he was going to have to outwork and go to the extra mile to make it there. And it seems like he took that second opportunity and has made the most of it, at least to this point, at least to get as far as he has.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who stayed in the building, stayed around the team, stayed, in the meeting, stayed in the playbook, even when he was injured and rehabbing last year. Stayed in Nashville the entire offseason. I think Ryan Tannehill in that story talks about how impressed he was by just watching him grind, watching him do the work, and said, I love to play with guys who love the work. And there are guys, I covered not Michael Vick, but Marcus, his brother Marcus Vick, at Virginia Tech. And when you hear Michael talk about, and it was true of his brother too, just totally wasted his talent. He got in a bunch of trouble and had a lot of issues. Michael, not setting aside the dogfighting thing, when Michael, this in his second act, talked a lot about how just a transcendent athletic wonder. I mean, he could do things just rolling out of bed that very few humans ever could do. But he would talk in his second act about it, sort of the regret of early in his NFL career not doing all the stuff that Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and those guys do, all the work off the field, all the details, all the little things that would have allowed him to maximize what were, otherworldly gifts. And he started to, he was able to Michael Vick was able to come back and have another act despite going to prison for two seasons, and be a pretty good player, even though he was by then physically diminished a little bit, because he started to do some of those things. And I think he felt the regret of that. And that is just true across the board, especially, I would say, when you're talking about the quarterback position. There's a million guys out there who can stand back there and sling it. How many Heisman Trophy winning or Heisman finalist quarterbacks who looked like they were the second coming as college players because they had an immense talent got to the NFL and never really even had a moment? And I think some of that is what you do, off the field.
We're talking to Kyle Tucker of The Athletic, has covered Kentucky for a long time, but now here in Nashville covering the Tennessee Titans as well. And I know that, in talking about Logan Woodside a little further, that he had a career at Toledo where he kept being told he wasn't going to be the guy. He wasn't going to be the starter, and that now we've seen, you know, that he's here and he's sticking around, that fight that I guess he learned there has carried over to the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, twice he was supposed to be the guy, and twice they brought in a transfer from Alabama, and consecutive preseasons, he got beat out by that guy. The first one, he gets beat out, and only last two games, that guy tears his ACL. Logan comes in and plays great. He figures, well, this is my job now. He gets beat out again the next camp and decides to redshirt and go run the scout team to try to help the team that way. I mean, yeah, he's not going to just scrap and claw and all of a sudden be the Titans' starting quarterback, but I think, you know, they need a backup. They need somebody who they can count on to be the number two. I thought it was, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to write it about him. I started this process of writing this story before they released Cole. It was very clear going into camp. They thought he was their number two. Their clear number two going into camp as a guy with zero NFL snaps. And I thought that was super interesting. Obviously, they make a move and they bring in Trevor Siemian. I think then the assumption becomes you bring in the guy that started 25 games in the NFL. He's your number two. I don't know that Logan has sort of given way to that. If I were judging it based on just the limited amount that I've seen those two guys, and Trevor's still learning the offense, very much so. I would say Logan looks way more comfortable and competent. And so he's kind of in that spot. He's not fighting for the starting job, but I think he's very much in a fight for the number two job, and it's that same deal. They bring in another guy. You know, they draft a guy, they cut him, but they bring in a guy who started in the NFL to try to take your job again. How are you going to handle it? And the Titans quarterback coach says, you know, Pat O'Hara says, you know, that didn't faze him at all, and we didn't expect it to, because everything we throw at him, he just kind of seems unfazed by it.
The Titans announced this week they have signed some familiar faces. Linebacker Will Compton, of course, really known around here. He spent a year with the Titans, but does the podcast Bussin' with the Boys with Taylor Lewan. And then Jeremy McNichols, who was in training camp with them last year. Do you look at these moves as, because they don't have a preseason, these guys know the system for the most part? Things are going to change a little bit, but they're familiar, and that's why it made sense to bring them back just in case, because they're trying to load up with some extra numbers in case they're positive tests and so on and so forth as they move forward?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting because the expanded, like, practice squads now, where you can keep more guys and more veteran guys, allows you to maybe stash some players that you may need to be emergency guys. I definitely think in McNichols' case, it's just that they, you know, much like quarterback, after your star and then after your draft pick, who Darnton Evans, who's missed a bunch of time, several practices now, after those two guys, there hasn't been much that really popped in what I've seen from those other running back options. And I think they just need some more options there. In the other case, you want a guy you know you can count on in special teams, and then a guy that if all things – you know, fall apart, if they're positive tests or injuries or whatever. And they talked about this, some of the coaching staff, we Zoomed with a bunch of them the other day. There's a comfort level that he can go in and play linebacker if he needs to. And so, I think there's a lot of reasons why you would sign those guys. But, you know, I definitely think there's going to be a planning element that comes to this season that's sort of unprecedented as you go. How do we create a safety net in some of these maybe worst-case scenarios with the virus or whatnot?
Kyle Tucker with The Athletic. Hey, Kyle, we appreciate it. It's good to talk to you again, and we look forward to many more conversations now that you're here in Nashville.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Covers the Titans for The Athletic alongside Joe Rexroad and also longtime Kentucky writer. We'll have more coming here on Darren Donovan Chase on the ninth birthday of 102.5 The Game, ESPN 102.5 The Game, I should say. We'll be back.
this hour. Be listening. You just made the list coming up at high noon. Tony Kemp at 12:30. That was take two here on Darren, Donick, and Chase as I was speaking while I was muted.
You haven't done that in a while.
I haven't.
Okay.
But I just did.
You were laughing at the meme you sent us. I was laughing at the meme you sent us, so it's okay.
Which is going to take us right into our next conversation. We appreciate Kyle Tucker for joining us. Don't forget, we're going to keep monitoring the weather. Just be on the lookout today, expecting a lot of rain, high winds. There's tornado watches. So we'll try to keep you caught up with what's going on that front.
It's getting closer to us.
Yeah,
just looking at
it. It's coming in from the west, right?
Yeah, it is right now, I would say. It's basically where you cross over the river to go from West Tennessee to Middle Tennessee. So it's moving this way.
Real quick, something else to pass along. We brought this up in our interview earlier this week with Ryan McGee. It looks like this IndyCar, the street race, the Music City Grand Prix, has got a lot of legs. Like
yes.
Next year, like 2021. Like, this is not something, you know, somebody's just kind of throwing out there to get a reaction. I'm reading stuff every day. Like, I think there's, like, a real shot this happens next year.
Yeah, they have sent out they've actually sent out a statement that we are pleased to confirm that plans to bring an annual NTT IndyCar Series Urban Street Race to Nashville progress this week, bringing us one step closer to establishing the inaugural Music City Grand Prix. Event promoters and organizers from Music City Grand Prix hosted Roger Penske and members of the IndyCar team at Nissan Stadium, alongside key staff from the Tennessee Titans and other key stakeholders. We collectively agreed to work toward finalizing an agreement to bring an urban racing festival to Nashville with a presence at Nissan Stadium. While we are all excited by the Music City Grand Prix plans, to be clear, this process is not finalized. So...
Can you imagine next year we have a cup race and a street race, an open wheel street race in our market next year?
Awesome.
I mean, wow. That escalated in a hurry, which is great. That's fantastic.
People want to come here.
They do.
They want to come here.
Yeah. So let's all behave so they can come here.
Seriously.
Good message. We need the Big Ten. To behave. What in the world are they doing? It looks like the Big Ten coaches are taking part in a call to now discuss a November start to their fall season. What in the world is the Big Ten doing?
Well, I think if you go back and listen to what James Franklin had been saying when the rumors started that they were going to shut it down, He said a couple of things. He said, A, this is too early. We don't have to make this decision right now. And B, and I think this is what they're working on right now, he said, if we have some creativity and innovation, we can find a way to play in a modified bubble. There is a way to do this. And James Franklin, you know, he is a guy, as we know, whose motor is always running. He's kind of a mad scientist. He gets criticized sometimes, but the guy, when he takes on a cause, you know he is going to be relentless. And I would imagine he and a lot of the other coaches have been talking about this and trying to find common ground, because as Kyle Tucker was discussing with us in the last segment, the communication breakdown was very, very big during this whole process with the Big Ten. Maybe they've got some traction. It's hard to know. We know the coaches are going to try to find a way, and they're going to lay out a plan of here's how we can play. The question is, does it get endorsed by the higher-ups? But I love the idea of let's create a bubble, not on campus or whatever it is, that mitigates the risk and gives the medical people who shut this down the okay. Have them give the okay. Say, okay, this could work. Now, it could be completely crazy if the SEC and other conferences manage to get through their season.
Bingo.
And they're winding down as the Big Ten is kind of cranking up. But We'll have plenty of football to watch if that's the case.
Do you guys remember what I told you earlier in the week, my conversation with an NFL scout?
Yes.
Do you remember what I said? What he was being told from Big Ten coaches.
Yes.
He said, they are currently on the field right now practicing to prepare for games in the fall. I told you that this week on the show, that coaches inside the walls in Big Ten schools, Big Ten schools that have a lot of clout and have a lot of pull, they are on the practice field every day preparing to try to play football games in the fall. I said that earlier this week.
You did. But here's my problem with this whole thing, though. And this is an if. I don't know how big of an if it is, but it is an if. But if the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 pull off their seasons by basically playing when they're supposed to, and then all of a sudden you have this bubble Big Ten or whatever we're going to call it.
Yeah, really, it's a winter season. Yeah. It's more or less. If it's after Thanksgiving or starting around Thanksgiving is what they're saying. The idea is the students all go home, so you have you're not worried about mixing with the student body. So that's got to resonate with some that have used that as a reason why you can't play.
I understand all that. I understand their concept behind it. But I can't sit here and go, all right, yeah, that's great, your bubble plan and all of that, but these other conferences just pulled this off.
Yeah, they had 6 months to be going down this road.
They just pulled this off in the normal part of the season with a 10-game conference-only schedule, and so why did you guys have to wait? Why did we have to? That's my whole point, because the Big Ten is just now looking incredibly weak from a leadership standpoint. And the fact that, okay, we're not going to play at all. Oh, just kidding. Well, maybe a spring schedule. Oh, just kidding. Now we're going to try and get it going, you know, at Thanksgiving. Meanwhile, three of the other Power Five conferences are going, yeah, we just crowned champions. We're done.
Yeah, we just wrapped up our regular season.
We're not going to wait. I mean, what are we doing for the playoff? Are you guys coming, or you're going to play three games and get a team in the playoff?
Doesn't this bring to mind, Darren, you flexed your muscles on what you said on the show. You know, you gave good info that it's turned out to be dead on. What question did I ask you guys if you have these staggered seasons? When is the college football playoff? Now, imagine if you're on that committee. Trying to figure that part of it
okay.
out.
Okay, I'll give you that answer. It's around New Year's Day. New Year's Day, that's when it is. Because if I'm the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12, I'm going to go, no, 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 no. It's not
our. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
No, 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 no.
So you're going to leave out Ohio State and Big 10 schools.
It's not their fault that they didn't have their stuff together.
Okay.
Right. You agree?
I'm just saying you're prepared to leave out Michigan or Ohio State or Penn State. You're prepared to leave them out if they were to have a magical season.
If I'm the committee, if I'm the committee, I look at the other three conferences like, okay, they had a better plan. They had their stuff together. They figured it out. Now we could be, like I said, we could be 3 weeks into this and there's a huge outbreak and they go, all right, we can't. We got to stop. And then everything, you know, they try and resume and do the same thing like the Big Ten. That could very well happen. But if they pull off their seasons like they have planned and it gets to Thanksgiving and they're about to wrap up and the Big Ten's just getting started, if I'm the committee, I'm going, hey, we'd love to have you, but –
you kind of dropped the ball.
Right.
Everything's
been fine.
Okay. And they may have to be willing to live with that because that's just where they are right now. I admire the heck out of this task force. I guess Barry Alvarez is part of it, Wisconsin athletic director. We know all the coaches are on there. The idea would be that you play these winter games in dome stadiums like Lucas Oil Stadium, Ford Field, or the U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis, which is a great idea. But remember what they're fighting at, what they're looking at is this is a better alternative than what's been presented to them right now, what was thrown in their lap, which is no fall season, trying to make a spring season happen when you know a lot of the best players wouldn't play and you have logistical problems there. I admire the creativity and the innovation of this group. The question is, can they get the ones that pulled the trigger early on the season to come back on board, kind of swallow their pride and say, okay, we were wrong. Let's see if we can pull this off. This has our endorsement.
Yeah, I'm not admiring anything. You want to throw out credit, you throw it out. I'm not throwing out credit.
I'm talking to the coaches. I mean, what are the coaches supposed to do?
The coaches, I'll give you.
Yes, sir, that's what I'm saying.
The coaches.
Is this
have
a coincidence
this
that Nebraska players are suing over all this? That just came out this week as well. And all of a sudden, we got Big Ten going, wait a minute.
What do you think?
But the Big Ten isn't doing it. This is the task force, the return to play task force. Now, what I would like to see more of, I'm reading Adam Rittenberg and Mark Slabaugh's collaboration on ESPN on this. I'm wondering who put this task force together? Did they just form themselves? Or is somebody at the Big Ten who is in a leadership position, a president, a group of presidents saying, okay, Barry, you and your group, come up with a plan, and we'll listen at the time. Did they even do that, or is this the coaches just and everybody that wants to play doing this on their own and then hoping that they can convince the right people? That's a key piece of info there.
Pete Thamel has just tweeted out in the last 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes, source, Big Ten starting around Thanksgiving would potentially allow the league to play 10 games plus one as opposed to 8 games plus one later in January. This is all still in the very early discussion phase, except presidents and TV partners would have significant say as well.
The TV partners is a big thing. I would think that would fall into line. You know, Big Ten Network, we know that's a no-brainer. The key would be, how do you intersperse it with, you know, presumably your college basketball games that you have slated during those time slots? We know how much college basketball floods the Big Ten Network, the SEC Network, ESPN, all those channels. That would be a challenge to get all those games on, but I think they'd find a way.
So hypothetically, Monday, January 11th is when the national championship is scheduled right now in Miami. So hypothetically, if they were to come out with this plan, even though I still am like, why can't you get on the same page with the rest? And if they're still practicing and they're still, you know, they're still in shape, why can't you just try and figure this out sooner? But that, whatever, the Big Ten clearly can't do that. Could they hypothetically move back the championship a couple weeks to allow the Big Ten to be a part of it?
But Chase, okay, we just discussed why the answer to your first question is, I think they're trying to be realistic that while the students are on campus, they're not going to get the okay from the people they need to get the okay with. It's when the
Which
students are sent home is when they have a chance, I think.
But why is that okay for the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 to, and I know some of them are virtual.
Different philosophies. So we've been through this. I mean, people have different philosophies on how to deal with what we're dealing with.
That's what's silly about this, in my opinion.
Well, then you got everything is silly with everything we're doing, because go from one county to the next. Everybody's got different viewpoints. We've been through this. This is our world.
Point to Donick, because
we can't worry about that. We can't worry about that.
Points
right?
For Donick on that.
That's just the fact. That's where we are.
I know. It just,
they're not going to be on the same page.
I don't know about you.
The story
guys,
of 2020 is nobody's on the same page.
I've had a lot of ibuprofen in the last few months because of this, because this whole year just
There's another shirt, by the way. No one's on the same page.
We got a lot of pages. Truth. It's a big book with a lot of pages.
I'm on page 23. What page are you guys on? 17? No, we're on 23.
I'm on 67.
How'd you get to 67?
That's like a class. So, you know, you ever been in a class where they hand out the book, you know, whatever Shakespeare play you're doing, and everybody has a different, there's like three or four different versions because there's not enough of the same version. And so you're like, okay, turn to Act 2, Scene 3. And they're like, well, in my book, that's page 50. And then the other guy, well, that's not my book. I got a different page. I got a different book than you. That's exactly what it is.
I don't know what you're talking about. You're talking over our head. My books had a lot of pictures in them. I don't know what are you talking about? Shakespeare
or
what?
I would forget to turn the page, and then the teacher would call on me, and I'd be like, what page are we on?
You'd be Chase, like, I forgot my book.
Chase, are you paying attention? No, I'm not.
Severe thunderstorm warning has been issued for Montgomery County. 60-mile-per-hour wind, plus wind gust, and also hail, possibly. So
hail.
Stay away from windows.
if you're in the Montgomery County area. I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing at your silly remark.
I'm silly today. It's her birthday. I can be silly.
That's true. I just look. I look. I don't. I said it all along when you guys said you think it's done. I'm like, no, it's not done. It's not. This is so ridiculous. I mean, gosh, I don't get it. I know the students are not good, because what's silly is they came out and said, oh, we couldn't possibly. It's putting the student athlete at risk. Oh, in November, now all of a sudden it's going to be just fine. Right. Everything's going to be. The student athlete is not at risk in November. It would have been a risk. They would have been at risk in August and September and October, but now in November. I think it'll be better.
The virus packs up and goes home.
I guess they're going on the notion after the 1st of November, it packs its bags and leaves and goes to
No, Maryland. No. They're coming up with a system that lowers the risk. There's a lot of good thought behind it and creativity and innovation. I admire that.
There's a lot of good thought in just trying to do it in September, too.
When they had 6 months to figure it out.
We are where we are. If you're a Big Ten coach, you can't do anything about what has already happened. That's water under the bridge.
No, applaud them because they're the ones that are making this happen.
Yes.
It's the Big Ten coaches that are beating and flipping over tables and chairs behind the scenes that is the reason this is happening.
Right, but they're not just doing that. Right, they're showing frustration, but they're also trying to innovate and come up with a plan that threads the needle and satisfies the health experts that, rightfully so, are throwing up caution flags. So the dome, having it in some sort of a bubble format where you're not in class, you're not with the other students, that gets through some of the hurdles that were put up there, and that makes a lot of sense. So that's smart thinking and not just frustration.
So I'm not going to steal this line from Vince Ferrara, who joins us every Monday at noon, because he's had fun with what other conference following the Big Ten around like its little brother or little sister, right? Like a little duckling. He makes jokes that there's another conference that whatever the Big Ten, they're like, yeah, we're going to do the same thing. Yep, that's what we're doing too. So with that being said, that's his line. So if this is where the Big Ten's making news today, so do we expect to have Pac-12 news today?
I knew that's where you're going.
Yeah.
Probably.
Pac-12 news? Are they good all question. Of a sudden getting in a room and, you know what?
I would say yes.
Thanksgiving looks pretty good.
I think without knowing, my answer would be yes. And let's bring it back to our backyard, right? This whole discussion we've had about the fall sports for high school. People on different pages, right? Some counties are playing. A lot of the state's playing. There are a couple of counties in Memphis and Nashville that are not playing. So what do you do if you're in one of those situations in Metro? Do you just be frustrated and say, this stinks? Why isn't everybody on the same page? You could do that, but you should do that. But also, let's be innovative. Let's try to come up with creative solutions, innovation, figure out how you get through this and how you convince people that we can figure it out.
How do you
together.
Think they're supposed to do that at the high school level, honestly? What do you think?
Well, the alternative is you don't play. The alternative appears don't play.
What do you want Metro schools to do that's innovative and nobody else is doing that will get them on a football field?
You bring ideas to the table.
You know what you could do? You could wear a mask and you could sit, be at a safe distance and, just be safe. You could do that. I mean, that's probably a good start.
Well, that has to be part of any equation.
Okay, I know, but what do you think they're going to come, some magic formula that Metro Nashville, the high schools, are supposed to come up with that nobody else has figured out so they can play, but yet the other counties are doing it? I mean, come on.
I would present numbers that I've been talking about is
it's what, not their what's job. Happen. It's up to the damn mayor and everybody else to figure it out. It's not their job to figure it out.
It's not the Big Ten.
So you don't. You just give up. You just sit back and take whatever you're given.
Well, it sounds like John Cooper has. Why is it their job? It's the mayor and other people, elected officials, to figure all that out.
It's not their job.
They're the ones that got all the experts. Why is it up to Metro to do that?
I'm just saying you don't have to accept whatever they're saying. You can have your voices heard. That's exactly what the coaches are doing in the Big Ten. They're having their voices heard. They're trying to come up with solutions, and I admire that. And I feel like you could do the same thing.
Well, the city of Nashville has got people that they can listen to, educated people that can figure this stuff out. It's not up to the high schools to figure it out.
Well, and I, but it's not, but I'm with Willie that I think that's what it's going to take. And you have to, that's where you have to decide, am I going to say it's not my job, or am I going to make it my job and make something happen? Because I believe that there are going to be some that make something happen.
You think they're staffed to do some magical thing that nobody else is doing? Metro? You think they're staffed to do that? Okay. So what do you want them to do?
Well, I believe...
What do you want them to do other than the stuff we've been telling everybody to do? What do you honestly want them to do?
Speak out.
Speak out? You want shields, you know, and all the, in the bleachers?
That's not what I'm talking about.
That's
not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about getting coaches and players in front of TV cameras and on radio shows and saying, hey.
Actually, Chase, they've been pretty vocal. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there.
I know
there's a lot of stuff out there.
I know they have. And I believe that's going to make a difference, because and what's starting on Tuesday can help things, because there are new policies going in place. We're in another modified phase two. If the numbers continue the trend that they're on and we continue to do the right things, I do believe that will help some things.
You also need people with muscle, like I said this week. The Titans need to be muscling the mayor behind the scenes and saying, we want fans. Okay, give us a chance. Give us a chance to have some fans
at some
of our home games. I don't know. I hope so.
That's a part that the answer you just gave.
They have muscle.
Part of it.
They have muscle. They can do that stuff. The high schools don't. They have real muscle, and I hope they are using that behind the scenes to the city of Nashville. Give us a chance to host 10,000 people or whatever. Give us a chance. If we fail, then we failed, but at least give us a chance. But they have that opportunity. They've got the muscle to do it.
You have to speak the language that hopefully will resonate. It's not about the guys that are going to get a scholarship. It's about why it's worth the risk to try to play, because of the value it is for those kids that we've been talking about. What does it bring to your life? What will it mean if you don't play? These are the discussions that I hope are being heard, besides just, hey, we got a lot of risk to play, because there is risk, right?
Of course.
It's weighing the risk with the reward. I think the reward side, what Nick Saban has been trying to preach, that's the side that's got to be brought to the table. And it's not, these guys are going to get scholarships. It's what is the value of high school sports and why is it worth fighting for? That is what I would do. That's how I answer your question. What are they going to do? No, they don't have resources. They're not going to come up with some technologically, what did you call it, a shield, Darren? There's not going to be a shield. We don't have a shield.
There's
no shield, right? It's we're going to be safe. We're going to do it as best we can, but this is why it's worth the risk. That is what I hope. That's what I'd be doing if I were one of those Metro coaches.
By the way, the rumor right now is that the Ravens are the front runners to land Jadeveon Clowney. That is the hot rumor in the NFL right now. We will come back. You load up those lines. Willie's got a question, a Predators question, and we've got a Winter Classic jersey to give away on the other side. Load up those phone lines, 615-737-1025. We'll give something away on the other side. All right, it's time to give something away. You just made the list. I believe the prize is going to be a date with Chase, I think.
That's what I'm told. That's so, not a joke.
Something like that.
Happy hour is actually what it
is. Something like that. But right now we're going to give away. We are celebrating our ninth birthday here at ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're giving you a chance to be a part of the celebration. We gave away, this was a prize, an autographed ball by Pete Rose and an autographed ball by Nolan Ryan. That's what we gave away in the first hour, which was really cool. Like, not, that wasn't two prizes, that was one prize. Really cool. Now we're going to give away a Predators Winter Classic jersey. 615-737-1025. We have got loaded lines, and let's start with Shannon. Shannon, you're up first. a Predators question. If you can get it right, you'll win a Winter Classic jersey.
All right,
here we go. And I've had to turn up the dial because our first question, as you guys alluded to, was a great prize. And, you know, I've been accused of asking questions that have been too hard in the past, and I felt like I had to turn up the heat.
And you said it's not Googleable. I'm not accusing the first winner of cheating. I'm not accusing them. I'm just saying you could have, if you had the availability, just to look up who Pete Rose played for, if you had something in front of you. That's all I'm saying. And I'm not accusing the first hour winner of that, but I'm just saying that could have happened. Okay.
Okay.
Disclaimer has been put out there.
So this is what I'm going to ask. The early days of the Predators, there weren't a whole lot of superstars. Some emerged. But there was one famous in Nashville. The first real line that had a nickname, like we have the Jofa line today. The first real line that ever got coined was called the Vowel line. I want to know the three forwards for the Predators that made up the Vowel line.
Oh, my.
Ooh, hello.
These were the early days of the Predators on the bridge from expansion towards the first playoff team in 2004.
I have no idea, guys.
Sorry. Oh, no. Okay. No idea.
He's out.
I was going to say, no idea, I'm pretty sure is incorrect.
That's what you
All right.
get.
Thank you, Shannon. Let's go to
the Vowel line.
Name the three players that made up the Vowel line.
I think I know it, but let's go to John. Let's see if John knows the Vowel line. John, you're up next.
No, John hung up.
John hung. He heard that question. He's like, nope.
Somebody knows it. Somebody's going to get it. 737-1025 if you know the Vowel line.
Let's try Tyler. Tyler, the Predators' Vowel line.
It's Martin Erat, Dennis Archipov, and Vladimir Orzag.
The three members of the Vowel line. So you have an E, you have an A,
did you hear me?
And you have an O.
Did you hear me?
We did. Is that your final answer?
Martin Erat, Dennis Archipov, and Vladimir Orzag.
That is correct. That is the Vowel line.
Boom.
Wow. Boom.
Very
It didn't
well
take
done.
Long.
Well done.
Very good.
And Elijah Campbell actually uncovered this. What is the significance of this date with as far as Martin Erat, Elijah?
On August 29th, 2011, the first ever day of the game was Martin Erat's 32nd birthday.
So happy birthday to Martin Erat. Ooh. I guess that's what? That's it. And so Martin Erat, who had the best overall career of any of those three guys. Dennis Archipov had maybe the highest ceiling. He kind of went the wrong way with some life choices that kind of cut it short. Vladimir Orzag was a real scrappy player that would have played for the Predators for a lot longer had he not had a bad knee injury that cut his career short. So those three were really fun to watch and gave the Predators a little bit of an identity back in the day. And Orzag and Erat were on the first team that played in the playoffs. By that time, I think they'd parted ways with Archipov.
So on that day, he had a Marty party.
Chase, how many of these are you going to strike out on? My gosh, you're 0 for 3 today.
That was a I wouldn't say I'm 0 for 3.
0 for 2?
That was pretty tacky.
We're going to put you on hold. Get all your info. Congratulations. And you indeed have a Predators Winter Classic jersey.
Hell yeah.
By nailing the Vowel line. Yeah, great job. By the way, one of the dads on our baseball team, I think I've told this story before as well, one of the dads on our baseball team, his father lived in Governor's Club, and he sold that house in Governor's Club to Marty Erat back in the day.
All right.
Really?
I think Marty Erat's still living in town. I think he's still living in Nashville, I think.
Really?
Yeah. Kind of low profile, I hear, but I think he's still hanging out.
And that same house, Javon Kearse wanted to buy it badly. But at the time, he wasn't willing to sell it when Javon Kearse was playing for the Titans. But he eventually ended up selling it to Marty Erat. Yeah.
Huh.
There you go. A little history lesson in the Governor's Club.
The more you know.
All right. We will come back and start off with who or what has made you mad. You just made the list, and my goodness, the prize is Happy Times with Chase McCabe.
No, Happy Hour.
Oh, Happy Hour. Okay. Okay. Sorry. Sorry about
Careful,
that. Isn't that the same thing? No? No?
Good.
All right. We will come back and do that for the third hour.
What did I sign up for?
Of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.